Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
There's a lot more to football than what really meets the eye. There are days when you could give it up. There are days when you could fly. You either love or hate it, depending on the score. But when your team run out or they kick a goal, how's a mighty roar.
Listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
Hello and welcome to Chicks Talking Footy. It's Danae and Moddy.
Hello,
tonight.
Everyone.
So we've got a bomber and a docker in the room. And
happy
that
days.
Makes us, Moddy, that makes us purple bombers.
Yes, it
for
does
tonight.
Indeed.
And just yes. A little tease of what lies ahead in this 29 minutes of Australian rules football discussion here on Joy 94.9, because we will be talking to the president of the Purple Bombers a little later on. We will talk about the highlights of the round. We'll look at next week and we'll focus on a woman in footy. Many women, actually, a little bit later on. So if you want to SMS, it's 0427 Joy 949. That's 0427 569 949. What do you want from the listener tonight, Motti?
Well, given we're talking, as we said, the women's football, we're mm-hmm. talking Purple Bombers, things like that, mm-hmm. I thought that maybe we want to know who do people barrack for and would they like their team to have a women's affiliated team?
Oh, yes, please.
Some teams have come out and said, yes, they'd like it. Others have said they can't do it at the moment or they, you know, Hawthorn, they're not going for it. You know, we want to see if people would like one for their, you know, like their
for
team.
Their club. Mm. So the AFL is looking at an 8-team national women's competition, and I hear it's going to be called the NWL. Anyway, we'll get to that at some point. 8 teams, and of course, there's 18 teams in the AFL, so not everyone is going to have a women's team. Fremantle and West Coast both lodged submissions to have a team, but I believe the AFL only wants one from Western Australia, one from South Australia, one from Queensland, yeah. And
New South Wales and the rest of Victoria.
What a surprise.
And they've said no to Tasmania, who sadly are upset yet again.
Yes.
They just said that, well, yes, but there's not the people there. That's what they said.
Mm-hmm.
And for the male teams to establish a male team in Tasmania, they being the AFL, and this is – I don't have any inner knowledge other than what I've read, is that they say the sponsors don't exist.
Okay.
And that's their reasoning. That's okay. Their main reasoning, but who knows? But anyway.
0427 Joy 949, let us know who you barrack for and if you'd like a women's team in the national competition in 2017.
Indeed. Now, shall we roll in?
Yes, let's.
To yet another interesting round. It's hard to get a handle on the season at this point. I think there's less, you know, that's going to be a walkover, they will win. You know, there's more surprises than I recall in previous years.
Do you think?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Okay.
I do.
So we've had 6 rounds of the AFL season.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the surprises, I mean, some of the surprises are how teams have played, but then others are, you know, you would expect Geelong, say, to beat Gold Coast, but no one expected them to thump them.
No, it was a huge result.
It was severe. It was a severe thumping. You know, it was over 100 points and destructive. I've written on my notes that it was like a destructive win.
Well, Geelong
win.
25 goals, yeah. Which is a bunch, isn't it?
Sure is. And they looked amazing. They looked supreme. I don't barrack for them, by the way, not that that matters. But, you know, I think Dangerfield's made more difference than anyone could ever imagine. He's splitting the load with Selwood, which is allowing Selwood to play better.
I love watching Dangerfield play.
Yeah,
I wish
amazing.
He played for us.
And Gold Coast, they just weren't in the race.
Mm.
They just weren't there. Not their fault. They came across a Geelong who were just...
So is that your favourite game of the round?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. I watched about 4 and some of the bits and pieces of the other ones. But I think, yes, it was to see them.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, really knocking it out of the park, as they say. Giants and Hawks.
Wow.
I mean, that's, yeah, Did you see any of that, Danae?
I listened to it, and strangely enough, we have a number of Hawks in the Chicks Talking Footy team. None of them here tonight.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
The Chicks Talking Footy team, led by Fee, captain, is has been subbed out. And, yeah, the Hawks
strangely
finally
went to Queensland just to get away from them.
Yes.
I think that was a surprise. I don't think anyone – I think Fee might say it was possibly on the cards, but I don't think anyone would have expected that it would be such a big loss.
And they came back at them more than once, and they held them at bay more than once.
Yeah, GWS looked every bit a team that's going to be around for a long time.
Yeah.
They played really well. They executed their, you know, their passing and their disposals really, really well.
And they're slick and fast.
Oh, and they've got, you know, Heath Shaw's the one person I picked out to talk about because he just rebounded back and his kicking to position was awesome. Like he was kicking it over and guys were running onto it.
Mm.
And just that really exceptional sort of skills.
And it's the great skill that needs to be the focus of all teams, doesn't it? For my team, Fremantle kicked 3-14 to half time against Adelaide in Adelaide, and that shows the complete opposite of lack of precision in kicking skills. Yeah. And look at the result.
Who's going to take over from Pav now that we've segued into that game?
So while the Giants and the Gold Coast have been building their stocks, Fremantle and other teams that have been in the top four haven't had great draft picks, and so we've picked the next best players we can, and we've got a bunch of tall players, but they're all injured to some degree, and those young fellas haven't come on yet. So the names are Apness and Tabiner, but it's yet to be seen.
Okay, yeah, no, I haven't heard of Apness really.
Yeah.
Okay, well, good. I'll look out for him. Yeah. I'll put him in my fantasy football when he comes back from injury.
He comes in.
Richmond Port.
Well,
I'll just take a deep breath there. Look. Sorry for sighing deeply into the microphone, but they just were running behind the ball and running behind Port, and they made Port look like Geelong or GWS.
Yeah, right.
They just, and I understand they've got lots of injuries and things, but I think the recruiting and the list management needs to be looked at now. I don't know that it's necessarily just a coach. I think there's been some errors made there.
I think Richmond were one of those teams who tried to top up to stay in that kind of top six in the last couple of years, and it hasn't worked out for them.
Hasn't. They're three big guys, Hampson, Vickery and Marriage, which they picked, which is unusual. Four marks between them for the whole game. I mean, they can't do that. Anyway, Saints and Melbourne. Saints looked amazing. Melbourne
go
didn't.
Sainters.
But they had young Christian Petraka, who played his first game. And that was a beautiful story. He did his knee at the start of last year when he was first drafted, and he's going to be a real player.
Yeah, Melbourne have got a great little list.
His family were there and they kept cutting to them. It was a really warm sort of environment. Essendon versus Carlton, no comment. Brisbane, Sydney, look, all the talk about that has been about the stretcher and, you know, the issue with the umpire, emergency umpire.
I'll just do it quickly.
Yeah, very close. Mm. And they could have won. Brisbane could have won is what they say.
And that goes back to your point about it being a season that's hard to gauge any result is seemingly possible.
West Coast Collingwood, not unexpected.
No.
A loss was not unexpected, but my friend in the office says Cloak needs to come back this week and Jesse White needs to play in defence.
Okay.
And he said,
well, I think Cloak is going to be out for about four more weeks and get some form in the VFL. And I think Collingwood are a little way off a win yet. So you're listening to Chicks.
Someone, sorry, Danae, Northwestern Bulldogs. Oh, someone pointed it out. I suspect we might have a North Barracuda.
Do you know, that's because Friday night football seems so long ago by Wednesday, but it was the first time the Bulldogs had played a Friday night game for 4 years. It was a top-of-the-table clash, and North Melbourne just rolling along.
Do you think they got starstruck in the lights or something?
Maybe.
The doggies.
Yep. Maybe hiding their light under a bushel. We'll see.
Well, North were great.
I think North Melbourne with Wells back in the team is so much better. And their big men are playing well in the forward line. So we'll see.
Mm.
We'll
see. I mean, North can only beat who they play.
Exactly. And Fremantle can only lose to whoever they play right now.
You've got to stop it.
Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9. Looking forward to talking with Jason from the Purple Bombers up next. So we head out of bounds now on Chicks Talking Footy, and this week a story in the news reported by Jill Stark in The Age. And if you cast your mind back a couple of years, you might recall that Jill Stark received the Globe Award for Straight Ally of the Year as she shared the story of out AFL footballer Jason Ball and for sharing other LGBTI stories to the broader community.
Good on Jill.
She's a ripper.
Mm.
The headline in The Age reads, AFL season 2016 St Kilda, Sydney targeted in protest against AFL's first gay pride game. So Stark explained, football is the latest battleground for opponents of gay marriage who are targeting St Kilda and Sydney as part of a campaign to derail the AFL's first pride match. Flyers were left on spectators' cars outside the VFL game between Sandringham and Footscray last weekend with the heading, Children deserve a mother and a father. The leaflet reads, Saints, Swans and the AFL, who do you think you are? By supporting for the same-sex attracted agenda with a pride game, you are saying that you don't support natural marriage. Two men cannot replace a child's mother, two women cannot replace a child's father. And so you get the flavour of the leaflet and the organisation. It opposes the AFL's first Pride match, so excited, scheduled for August 13 at Etihad Stadium.
We'll go as a team, I think, Chicks Talking Footy.
Yeah, I think we will. And it was organised authorised by a person who appears to run a site called AnotherStolenGeneration.com. So we won't go into that. But Jill Stark goes on to explain the background to St Kilda's lobbying of the AFL to stage a pride match in a bid to stamp out homophobia and celebrate diversity in sport. And there's more to read about the Pride Cup organised by Jason Ball and staged at Yarra Glen Footy Club. Perhaps you've been to a game. There's been three now. There's 50-metre lines painted rainbow colours and teams wearing rainbow jumpers and coaches and players undergoing anti-homophobia education, which is all fantastic. So while there is opposition to making footy more inclusive, there are plenty of people working hard to change the game. And Jason is the president of the Purple Bombers. And as you'd expect, the Purple Bombers are the LGBTI supporters group of the Essendon Bombers. And on the phone to share his thoughts about last weekend's protest and what it's like to be at the forefront of change. Jason, how do you respond to flyers that suggest that the AFL support of the Pride match is out of line?
First of all, it makes my resolve harder and firmer because it just clearly shows you what the fight is ahead. We are not where we need to be yet, sadly, and there are a lot of people who are actively going to campaign against us, particularly if we end up with a plebiscite, if the Liberal Party win the election, and it's not going to be very fun. But if you didn't say it, but at the bottom of that flyer, it says some website that's like Another Stolen Generation.
Mm.
That is so disgraceful to Indigenous Australians to start with, to say that. And it's such a ridiculous, terrible thing to say. But they've been wanting, you know, those people and organisations like them want to wind back the anti-discrimination laws so they can say terrible things. And they probably shouldn't even be allowed to say what they've said on that flyer. So yeah. I'm distressed by that, but I'm just helps me understand that we have a big fight ahead of us.
It's interesting, Jason, because Motti and I discussed how much we wanted to actually talk about the topic in the first place, because it is hard to give oxygen to that kind of thinking, yeah. But it needs to be part of the broader conversation. And
well, it does.
No, go on, please.
It does. And I, for 2.5 years as the leader of the Equality Party, we deliberately did not mention the ACL or any of those people. But we made a conscious decision 6 months ago that now the time is to fight them. Just in regards to the whole marriage equality thing, which is what they're honing in on here, they want a plebiscite so they can have a chance to say terrible things about LGBTIQ people for a good 3, 4, 5, 6 month period. And they may actually win and we lose that vote if that actually happens. And that fight is going to be really kind of nasty. And we have to be nice. We have to respond nicely but clearly and go, no, this is rubbish for these reasons, and we can't go and stoop down to their level. But I'm shocked that they're doing it so early. But they've been very successful. What they did with Safe Schools in the Parliament was very quick and very effective by suddenly, you know, talking about, I don't know, pedophiles and men in women's change rooms and all the gender stuff that they're talking about. And they were very effective and had that whole program canned, granted by a weak right-wing Liberal government. who don't stand for anything for LGBTI people. So the Labor government wouldn't have done that, but the point is it was very effective, and they are going to leave no stone unturned to change those people who are soft yeses for equality to no's.
So let's talk.
That's what the research says. Yeah.
Let's talk about the positive things that you and your group and we in the community, the LGBTI community, are doing and can look forward to. What have you got lined up to mark the International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia?
Oh, it's fantastic. So Essendon wanted to be partners first of all with St Kilda in the Pride game. The Purple Bombers worked towards that, and for whatever reason, it's Sydney and St Kilda Avenue, which is fine. But we have partnered with the North Melbourne Football Club, the AFL Players Association, Stand Up Events, NICHE, which is Daniel Whithouse's National Institute for Challenging Education and Homophobia.
Mm-hmm.
And we are doing an Ida Hot celebration in the city that will have, for example, the top three people at Essendon, half the board, five or six players, plus players from other clubs, and St Kilda's Matt Finnis, and North Melbourne's people will be there and stuff, celebrating and standing up, an evening for standing up for equality. So there'll be 200 people there. And we will actually talk about the International Day, the Ida Hot Day, or Ida Hoppet Day, and what it means to be a football person, whether you're a player or a fan or an administrator who is LGBTI or an ally of LGBTI people. And that's going to be so exciting. We also, before the North Melbourne game on the Saturday before, the banner for the cheer squad at the Essendon Football Club will talk about standing up for equality, and the Purple Bombers will do a guard of honour. The club, I'm really fortunate to be able to speak to the President's Lunch beforehand, and next Monday I'm speaking to the entire Essendon playing group and then the entire staff at the football club around what we're trying to do and how the club wants to become the most inclusive club in the AFL. And the club has a women's network and an Indigenous network, and we're going to work closely with them as well to make sure, because none of us are more important than each other.
And Jason, thank you.
Can I go too long?
No. There is so much to do. But I just want to remind those listening to Chicks Talking Footy that you don't have to barrack for the Bombers to join the fun.
No, absolutely not. No, and we've got... Well, if you join the Purple Bombers on any of the levels of memberships in the next 2 days, I can guarantee that you get a ticket to that evening. It's going to be amazing. We've got representatives from almost every football club, either supporter or administratively, coming that evening.
Sounds brilliant.
It's a celebration about standing up for equality. And we want, one of our mission statements is to have every club have a similar supporter group. The Blue Roos now, the Rainbow Swans, and the Pink Magpies. And it's time, there's another 14 clubs to go.
So I barrack for Fremantle, and you've already stolen our purple. So I'll have a word with you later about that, Jason. And I will see you on the 17th. Good luck to the Bombers and the Purple Bombers. And enjoy the activities of Ida Hobbit. And thanks for talking to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
Pleasure, anytime. Thank you.
Thanks, Jason.
Well, plenty of activities happening. It's not all negative here. We've got lots of women's football to talk about. I have been along to the under-18 championship this week. I only got to see one game. There was rest day today, and they were having development skill stuff, but I saw the WA team beat Vic Country on Monday.
Oh, well, you're happy.
Yeah, I am.
Being a Western Australian.
Marty, I have to say that girls under the age of 18 are a little bit bigger than I remember them being at the age of 18. Fantastic football. Brilliant. It was down at the Glasshouse, which is basically Collingwood's oval.
So not in Gipps Street.
No. No. No, indeed. You have to win a couple of games to get into the finals, and I'm hoping WA will win another game so I can see them play on Friday. The finals are at Punt Road.
That's
on
right.
Friday.
Yep, Friday. And there's about three games there. It works out a semi-final, quarter-final, semi-finals type style, doesn't it?
There's two pools.
And you end up.
Yeah. And then the grand final of the A pool, Pool A, is at the MCG from 5 o'clock before the Hawthorn-Richmond game.
That's so good.
How good is that?
It's amazing. You know, I think the argument, which I'm just going to slightly merge onto now, the argument of how can women talk about footy because they've never played it, is really going to disappear and hold no ground very, very soon because of these carnivals and because of, you know, the next year's league and things like that.
Just get along to a game and watch it, whether it's the Victorian League, wherever you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy, you can find a local game and watch the women, support them, play. Go to the community site on the AFL's website and you can watch the replays of all these games and the under 18
championships. They're streamed, are they?
They're streamed.
And Vic Metro looking good, by the way.
Always.
Yep.
Yeah,
so we should see them in the final before the game on Friday night at the G, which will be amazing.
Brilliant. I can't wait. One of the things I want to talk about in the Women in Football Focus, because there's lots of women in our Women in Football Focus this week, is that there is now a football advisory group that has been named ahead of the 2017 National Women's League. And Major General Simone Wilkie, Chair and AFL Commissioner, is the chair of the committee. How about some of these names? Because I know that, Motti, you'll know them. Libby Gore. Debbie Lee is a past player and stateswoman of female football. Susan Alberti. Footscray, for sure. She's been around forever. Michelle Cowans, the Melbourne Football Club assistant coach. Craig Starcevich, he's the football talent manager for AFL Queensland and he's one of the champions of women's.
For female.
Yeah, women's football in Australia. Holly Ransom, who we'll be talking to in a couple of weeks on Chicks Talking Footy, recently appointed to the Port Adelaide Football Club and a go-getter. Jane Woodlands-Thompson from the SANFL Commission. Xavier Clark, the Thunder coach from Northern Territory, and Darcy Vescio is the VFL women's player as the player's voice.
Yeah, she's the solitary player, isn't she?
But some of those women are not too far from having played themselves.
That's right, they're recent retirees.
That's a power meeting. I want to be a fly on the wall.
Yeah, I'd love that, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I want to read the submissions from all the clubs about which teams get picked next year, and I want to find out what's going on in those meetings.
Why didn't they come and find us? So there's 10... in the advisory group.
Well,
they missed us.
The first meeting's tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
So we'll find out soon.
Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, let's Skype them in. There'll be news on that, I'm sure, next week.
It'd be great.
It's fantastic.
Congratulations to all those women on that group.
The under 18 championship finals are on Friday at Punt Road. Get along and check out the communityclub.com.au.
You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
You can like us on Facebook. So, oddly enough, it's called Chicks Talking Footy, Joy 94.9. You can SMS on 0427 Joy 949. And there's our first episode podcast is up.
Two are up.
I beg your pardon. Two, sorry.
Yeah.
Danae.
Yeah.
I better get in there. So, Fee and Danae host each week, and then we rotate people off the bench, such as me, Motti. Now, next week. Next weekend or this weekend.
Yes.
Games. Okay. So I've just quickly gone must win, won't win, game of the round and don't care.
Okay.
Richmond, I think, is the obvious. They must win.
Who are they playing?
They're playing Hawthorn at the G. So it's slightly unlikely for them. Collingwood must win as well. They're more likely to win, though. They're over Carlton. Won't win, Richmond. Sorry. Game of the round, for me, Geelong versus West Coast.
Mm.
Two teams with similar styles down at Geelong Stadium, Simmons Stadium, sorry. And that should give them the edge, I would think. But it would be an awesome match to watch, actually. Are you going to catch any of this week's? Frio playing GWS?
Yeah, sure.
I've written Frio will be beaten by GWS. About that.
Yeah, several goals.
My don't care is a Gold Coast versus Melbourne and Port versus Brisbane because they're very uninspiring at the moment. Sydney will beat Essendon. And the grudge match, Collingwood versus Carlton.
Ooh, well, we'll talk all about it next week on Chicks Talking Footy. And thanks for your company. 0427 Joy 949. Send us a message about who you barrack for and who you'd like to see in the comp. But that's it for Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9 this week.
Good night from Motti.
Three votes for Motti. Two votes for Malcolm for his support in the studio. And I'll take one vote for good effort.
Thank you very much. I'll take the three this week.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.